The scripture today is Ephesians 4:11 through 14. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting.
Happy New Year. I want to thank Lynette for that music. Very special. I also want to thank the youth praise team for their part this morning. Thank Judah, Brianna. This is much better over here. That light is bright. I'll tell you what you guys remind me of. Guys and gals. About 20 years old, wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist, but I've been studying for a year. I remember very distinctly the individuals giving me Bible studies took me to Pacific Union College to look the college over. I wasn't baptized yet. And then he took me down to Elms Haven. And he sat there in his vehicle and he said, "There's one more thing I haven't told you yet." He says, "Our church has a prophet." And I thought, "Oh, no." Because I had studied. I mean, I have been studying with different denominations and different churches for a year. And I knew about some prophets. And I thought, no, not again. And we went in. And I took the tour and heard the history and saw the scriptures. And I was so convicted, I couldn't believe it. And then we went down to the bottom floor, and they had a little slideshow. And I can't remember the exact words, so I'm at the prayer phase. But the lady said, one of the last writings that Ellen White gave was said something to this nature with such an army of youth dedicating their lives to Jesus Christ. This work will finish rapidly. And man, that just brought conviction to my heart. And I hope it does yours. Keep giving your life to Jesus continuously. I need to apologize. Colleen ran out of guest speakers. So here I am. But don't get too upset because I have worked over the speaker schedule for the next quarter and you will be hearing from others also. So it's good to be here. Beginning of the year, I can't think of a better title for a talk on the first Sabbath of the new year than expectations. What are we going to expect this year? I'm not going to tell you the whole year. Expectations. But how do you like that subtitle? It's easier to preach a sermon than it is to raise up an army. Yeah, and it's not easy to preach a sermon. I'm going to tell you that right now. But raise up an army is more difficult. Much more difficult. Did you know all of you have enlisted in an army? All of you, of your own free will, joined this army And we're in a great battle. We are in a great battle. A great controversy. And by the way, I need to say something. I'm going to back away from the sermon for a second. I just need to say, some of you are not sitting where you usually sit. And this really just, I'm trying to learn this congregation. And when you move around like that, it really challenges me. It reminds me of a church I went to one time as a pastor for a few weeks, and we'd go to potluck, and the young couples were always mingling around, sitting with different people. I had people married that weren't married. It was pathetic. So be careful where you sit, okay? I need to try to understand who's who. Let's take a look at our scripture again. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 14. We're going to take a look at what you can expect from the pastor. And here's our scripture. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, I've mentioned this before. Pastors, teachers is one person. Pastor, teacher is, if you look at the Greek, it's one person. So these are the gifts he gave to the church. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, teachers. Now, I just got through attending last week, or the first of this week, together in one, where all the teachers came together and all the pastors came together. It was good. It was good. And the thrust of this whole seminar, two-day seminar, was the pastors and the teachers working together to move forward. And unite and work together as a huge team. Not pastors and teachers, but pastors and teachers. We're one. And I have to admit, I don't like to always tell the truth. I mean, I do like to always tell the truth. But I don't like to always confess the truth sometimes. And I have to admit, I've always looked at this passage as pastors are teachers. But I've never dawned on me, or the thought hadn't hit me, teachers are pastors. We're all one team. And if I got anything out of that seminar, I got a lot out of it. But that was a real good eye-opener for me. Now, why did he give us these gifts? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Ah, okay. Why else? For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. Wow, that's a lot. So what can you expect from me as a pastor in the next however long it's going to be? Equip your members for ministry. That's the first thing you're going to expect from me. My job, my passion is to equip you for ministry. Now, you thought the pastor did all the ministry. Well, there's the first step in equipping you. You just learn that you're all ministers and you will be equipped if you so choose to be. It's interesting to me that Jesus equipped the 12. Now stop and think about that for a minute. Why didn't he have 50, 100, 150? I always told pastors, I said, you think you can pastor 200, 300 parish churches? No, you're kidding yourself. There's no way you can pastor that many. Jesus only pastored 12. So how's a pastor going to pastor a large church, two churches? Oh, keep listening. Keep listening. He's going to equip. He's going to have some helpers. That's how he's going to do it. He taught them, and he modeled them. And if you go through the scriptures, read everything about Jesus, you'll find out that he had more modeling than he did teaching. That's very interesting to me. Yeah. He taught them. He says, I'm going to do this. You watch me. I'm going to do this. Now, you help me. Now you do it, and I'll help you. Now you do it, and I'll watch you. That's what teaching and modeling is all about. And my passion is to teach, to equip, to train, to support the members of this church in Ashland. That's my goal. That you may become very effective leaders in the ministry as part of this army. I've discovered that one of the greatest ways to equip people for ministries, to grow them up strong, is through, of course, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Small groups. It's a powerful ministry. It's a powerful ministry. As a matter of fact, through small groups training and equipping, and I didn't bring it, you'll get it later, I have developed a three-page chart, 8.5 by 11 chart, showing all the different courses that we're going to be looking at in equipping you for ministry. And you don't have to go to all of them. You don't have to go to any of them. But if you want to be equipped for a ministry, for a stronger ministry, then I challenge you that you'll want to take some of these courses and go through them. But I'm not only supposed to equip you. The scripture says I'm supposed to edify you, encourage you, build you up. And so I'm hoping I'm doing that constantly. From time to time, I'll be out there visiting in your homes. Why? Just to encourage you, to have prayer with you, to build you up. I'm hoping that we can all work together as a team and to point you to Jesus when the going gets tough. When the going gets tough. You know, I kind of felt it was getting tough just a few minutes ago. I was excited to hear about this new baby. That's what I call church growth. But then our young lady over here, she says, find out what meals they need, and we'll fix some meals for them. So, was it Lynette? Was that her name? Where is she? Lynette. Hi, Lynette. I think that's a great ministry. If I have a baby, would you fix some meals for me? All right, now I don't feel left out. Okay. So, we're to edify and build each other up. And that's not just my job, that's your job too. We need to constantly be encouraging one another. Why? Till we all come to the unity of the faith. So, you know, this oneness, you know, Jesus in John chapter 17 has this great prayer. I mean, it's a prayer for you and me that we will become one. And here it talks about unity. How do we get to unity? By being equipped and building each other up. That will pull us into unity. That will pull us into unity. We must teach the members to minister to each other. Pastor Ministry says this quote, we must teach the members of the church how they may effectively minister to others. How effectively to minister to each other. For till we come to the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ, or as the scripture says, unto a perfect man. I'm not sure what that perfection is. Often thought of it to become everything we can possibly become through Jesus Christ. To be mature, to be strong in Jesus. And number five, that we should no longer be called what? Children. That's interesting. That's very interesting because, you know, if you look at Paul and you read his writings in Hebrews, I think it's the 11th chapter, Paul says to the Hebrews, he says, you're still children. I'm thinking, wow. The children of Israel, Paul's talking to, who's gone for ages after ages, generation after generation, Paul looks at him and he says, you're still children. You can't even handle the solid food yet. You still need milk. And if you turn to John, 1 John chapter 2, you'll see a spiritual illustration of mature and children Christians. First John chapter 2, 11, 14. I'm not going to read the passage. You'll hear it many other times from me. But it points out that there are three categories of Christians: children, young men, and fathers. Now, I like to reword that. I like to reword that. I say it's children, young adults, and parents. Children, young men, young adults, and parents. I like to put it in our vernacular. Now, remember, when you're looking at these, we're talking about spirituality. We're not talking about our human as we are right now, children, da-da-da-da. I'm talking about spiritual aspects. And Paul's saying, you guys are still children. What does it say in there? If you read it, you find out that the children, their sins are forgiven. Okay? And you find out the young men or the young adults, they have overcome the evil one. Have we overcome the evil one? They're strong in the Lord, and the word of God lives in them. That's the young adult, spiritually speaking. And the children of Israel are still children. They haven't even reached young adulthood yet. And the next stage is men, which I like to call parents. Now, let me ask you this question. This might hurt. Let's go back to the physical world. How does one become a parent? By having children. You're not a parent unless you have a child. Let's go back to the spiritual world. How does one become a parent? Here's my interpretation: by bringing someone to Jesus. By bringing someone to Jesus, by producing children for the kingdom of heaven. And then I look at my congregation, and I can look at you because I don't know you that well. And I say to myself, how many mature parents do I have in this congregation? Or are we all still children? And I want to say one thing, unless you think I'm trying to put a guilt trip on you. I want to say one thing. It's not your fault if you aren't there. It's my fault. Because what's my job description? To equip you for ministry. And if you haven't been equipped for ministry, then we pastors have failed you. As pastors and teachers, we have failed you. And I want to apologize right up front. But let's move on from here. Let's move on from here and see what we can do to move forward and equip and grow in Jesus Christ to become young adults and parents, fully mature. So, gives you an idea what you expect from the pastor. He's going to equip, he's going to encourage you, he's going to grow you. I'm not going to force you. You're a volunteer army. You weren't drafted, or maybe you were. I don't know. But my next question is, are you ready? What does a pastor expect from you? What does a pastor expect from you? You didn't expect that one, did you? I choose Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Matthew 28. And Jesus says, therefore, what? Go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. To the very end. It's very interesting. Jesus said, what? Go. He didn't say come. He said go. Go. We need to go. Example, Jesus gave us a great example of going. He went into the highways and the byways and he made friends. He made friends with those who nobody else wanted to make friends with. You know? He made friends with the publicans. He made friends with the tax collectors. He made friends with the not wanted. He made friends with the rejected. He made friends with the prostitutes. I have a story I'd love to tell you, but I won't have time, but I'm going to share just a snippet of it. I and several of the ministers start a ministry, a bar ministry. And we went to the bar. Can you imagine that? A Seventh-day Adventist pastor going to the bar. Now, I don't recommend any of this to anybody that has any trouble with alcohol. Don't even think of it. And don't ever go by yourself. Never. And you got to go by at least by twos. That way, if the congregation criticizes you, you can say, well, I was with brother so-and-so. The end result, I saw about 100 people give their lives to Jesus Christ who attended the bars weekly. It's possible. But it's not possible if we sit here and say, come. The only way it happens is if we go. We've got to go out into the world, out into the field. Not by ourselves, but at least by twos and threes and fours, and minister to people and win their hearts over. I can imagine when Jesus said, go, I can just imagine in my mind what the disciples were thinking. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ it looked fairly unimpressive at that moment. You know, in fact, in chapter of Acts, it doesn't look like there's much there. After 3 years of teaching and modeling, wow. Jesus was taken up before the disciples to return to the Father, and they stood there on the Mount of Olives, just staring up in awe and shock. Awe, because they were standing there in a glorious situation, the angels and Jesus. And Jesus, I mean, they were totally awestruck, but they're stunned too and amazed because of the final words that Jesus said. Yeah, when he offered his strategy for winning the world, you're going to be my witnesses. You are going to be my witnesses. Wow. They must have felt like fearful failures. Things that hadn't really gone too well recently, you know. Matter of fact, one of their brothers had just betrayed Jesus and committed suicide. And they were going to be his witnesses. The authorities were banking threats on them and probably coming after them. And now, wouldn't you know it, Jesus departed for good. He left. I think they were so shocked that they didn't even know what to do next. And finally, what happens, a couple angels comes along, repeats Jesus' words, that they're returned to Jesus. This return to Jerusalem and wait for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. 10 days. 10 days. That's how long they waited. And I'm challenging this congregation. 10 days. We're going to take 10 weeks, but just one day a week. For I want you to pray with your partner for the Holy Spirit. 10 days. We could experience something that maybe we would like repeated or even go beyond where we have been. 10 days. Praying that the Holy Spirit will move upon us. And we're going to launch that in about 2 weeks. So one of the things I want you to start doing now is thinking in your mind, who would you like to partner with? I'll give you a little more on that. But anyway, I can just hear them, these disciples saying, he couldn't have said that we would be his witnesses. Nuh-uh. He couldn't have said that. Why? Why, just look at us. Why, we're shaking like leaves. Yeah? I can't give his kingdom away. That would never work. The angels would do a much better job than I would. I mean, look at them. They're not scared. They're more mobile. They can even fly. And yet Jesus said to the disciples, you are going to be my witnesses. We must go and not sit in this church and just share with each other and expect people to come. It's not going to happen. Look at this quotation. It is a fatal mistake to suppose that the work of saving souls depends alone on the ordained minister. Whatever one's calling in life, friends, listen to that. Whatever one's calling in life, I don't care if you're a nurse, a teacher, a secretary, a pianist, a ditch digger, a plumber, a roofer, I don't care. Whatever one's calling in his life, his first interest should be to win souls for Christ. Wow. Is that your first interest? Your first interest is to win souls for Christ. You know, we need to raise up an army. Look at this. Secure your army. The minister should at first seek not so much to convert unbelievers as to secure his army of workers. Let him labor for the members of the church individually, seeking to arouse them to gain a deeper experience themselves and to work for others. I'm not supposed to go out there and win souls right now. I love giving Bible studies. But Scripture says my first responsibility is to equip you. And so I've got to focus on that, whether you like it or not. And look at the next one. Is that the next one? There it is. If the minister would instruct his people, he might have an army to help him in diffusing the light when the crisis comes in the work. See why I call you an army? You are the army. You're the army of Valley View. I've got a little town down here. I wonder how much of an army that town has been penetrated. Look at the next one. I have to give you these. These are great. The best help that ministers can give the members of the church is not sermonizing, but planning work for them. I don't have to preach too many more sermons now, do I? And another one. Caring for the flock includes laying out work for them. The people have listened to too much sermonizing. But have they been instructed on how to labor for those whom Christ has died? I can remember one of my churches where I challenged the elders. In that particular year, I think it was, we held 6 evangelistic meetings simultaneously throughout the community in different buildings. That's exciting. That's exciting. I can remember another church, my pastor, we had 18 small groups. Now, the church was membership was 200. Now, you stop and figure that out. 18 small groups, average about 10 people in each small group. That's 180 people attending small groups during the week in different homes. Do you know how people show up for prayer meeting? You know, we got a good prayer meeting going here. But I've always said to myself, you know, if in a white Caucasian church, if you can get 10 people out to prayer meeting, you got a revival. Can you imagine 180 people meeting in homes throughout the week studying the Word of God? That's my goal. That's what I want to head. It's not going to happen overnight, but that's where we're going to head. So, and I'm going to say this carefully. Please forgive me if it offends you, but I'm going to say it carefully. It's time for our churches to stop becoming an entertaining club and to become everything Jesus has asked us to be. So we can go home. So where do we go from here? You hear the expectations of your pastor. You hear what expectations he accepts from you. I got one more. expectations of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24, verse 49 says, "You are my witness of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have clothed, till you have been clothed with the power on high." That's that 10 days again. So before we go and win others, we need to tarry till he wins us. We need to tarry till he wins us. Brings conviction to our hearts. Disciples waited 10 days. We're launching 10 weeks. So I don't expect us to meet for 10 weeks, but I'm hoping we can meet for 10 ways during those 10 weeks for the purpose of experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer, and I hope it'll be your prayer. So we're going to organize. I'm going to give you a little bit of forewarning so you can start thinking about it. We're going to organize into what we call triads. That's a type of a small group, groups of threes. Now, some of you already are in groups of twos, and I praise God. If you can't find a third person, that's okay. Groups of two are very acceptable. If you're not in a group of two, find another partner. Find another partner. Three is great. And we'll share this with you on the 20th when we do our training. Why three is better than two. Yeah. Each triad will be made of the same gender. So when you think of a partner, I want you to make the same gender. And by the way, young people, don't think you're excluded. No. Think about it. Who would you like to be a partner with and pray together at least once a week for the Holy Spirit to fill you completely? I think it'd be powerful. Powerful. And each tribe will meet weekly as possible. Now, if you can't get together weekly, there's always a telephone. There's always a telephone. And study guides will be furnished you every week. And the sermons every week for starting the 25 will be on the Holy Spirit. And the speakers have got the materials. And they know their assignments. Bless their hearts. Now here is where the tough part, right here. Each tribe is to be made up of people who, here's where you find out if you qualify. Number one, have a hunger for a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you have no desire to have a deeper relationship with Jesus, then a triad is not for you. Number two, agree to disciple and to be discipled. And you'll learn more about that. In other words, do you love Jesus and you want more of him? Are you willing to help someone else to grow in Jesus? And are you willing to let someone help you grow in Jesus? And the third one, do you have a heart for the lost? You desire to see those come to the kingdom of God that aren't here yet. I'm telling you, if you have those three things, whether you feel trained or not trained, doesn't matter. If you have those things, then you want to become part of a triad. You want to become a team, a praying team during these 10 weeks, beginning Sabbath, January 20th, Sabbath afternoon. This will be the building, the beginning, I'm hoping, of building this church into a small group movement. Will everybody get involved? Well, there will always be a few that won't, but I'm hoping the majority will. And I just want to say for some of you that have little children, you know, please don't feel that you can't get involved. Like I said, there's a telephone. You can call your partner on the telephone. Any way we can connect and start praying together. I feel that the impact of this total ministry is going to take about 3 years. This is just the beginning. This 10 weeks is just the beginning. And when we'll see the results in about 3 years, it'll be exciting. It will be exciting. I promise you. I want you to start now. I don't have to wait 10 weeks. I want you to start now praying to the Holy Spirit. Praying who can be your partner. And here's what I like. Expectations of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11, verse 11 to 13. Which are you fathers? If your son asks for a snake, we'll give him a snake. Ask for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead. Yeah? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's a promise, friends. That is a promise. If we spend time asking for the Holy Spirit, and some of the passages before that, sometimes we have to ask more than once, you know. Remember the gentleman knocking on the door and the neighbor wouldn't come to the door. He was sleeping and he kept knocking. Sometimes we need to persist. That's what the 10 days is for. Surrendering and persisting, begging God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And he promises, this is what's inside, he promises he will. He will. So now you know. You know what you can expect from me. You know what I'm expecting from you. And you know what we can expect from the Holy Spirit, God. So it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit, more than ever, beginning now, will begin filling us in every thing we do as we move closer to his second coming. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take your life in mine.
Yes, Father, you love us with a love we don't even understand. And we thank you. And we praise you. And we pray that we will go, that you will fill us, and that we'll be everything you want us to be, in maturity, that you can come home soon. Bless us, keep us, in you we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.